But one key factor in relating with spiritual things is faith. Is faith. A very key factor in relating with spiritual things is faith. You know, because be it teaching, be it worship, be it impartation, whatever the direction is, please guys, whatever the direction is, whatever the direction really is, faith is the key to that transaction. It's with faith we transact. It is, I guess my communication should be getting clearer now. It's by faith. For instance, right now what I'm teaching this morning is titled Unseen Realities. Unseen Realities. And what I believe I should talk about next Sunday will be the faith that takes. The faith that takes. You know, sometimes we say we're in faith, but we seem to have this faith that waits. But there's the faith that takes. Faith is a taker. All right? Faith is a taker. But in order to understand the faith that takes, we would better understand first the unseen realities. And that should be a paradox, I suppose. Because if it's unseen, how then can it become a reality? How is it a reality and then it's unseen? But it's unseen, but it's a reality. All right? And this would sound familiar because I know I've talked along these lines before. But it is essential because it is by faith we transact. And we can't get over the teachings on faith. We cannot outgrow the teachings on faith. We cannot over-explain it. Someone says, oh, but prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. You cannot turn that key without the hand of faith. Did anybody hear what I just said? No matter how much you want to shout about prayer being the key cannot turn itself. It needs faith. Because all prayers are prayed by faith. Someone says, oh, when we worship, it brings down the hand of God. That's when you know how to use faith to receive what the hand brought down. Anybody getting what I'm saying? So you still have to come back to the school of faith. It's how the transactions are. Now, there are certain impartations that happen to us that seem to ignore our faith. They seem to operate despite, in spite of our faith operations. They happen. You know, you could even lay hold on when exactly you released your faith for this particular thing, and then it happened. Oh, but I love the way Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 begins. It says, but God who is rich in mercy. So our Father is rich in mercy. So Ephesians 2 4 says, for God who is rich in mercy with a great love wherewith he has loved us. So God's love is that kind of love with which he wants to show kindness. He wants to display kindness. So that's why sometimes you see that the testimony an unbeliever shares could be as alarming as the one a believer shares at times. A believer talks about how that, you know, God got him out of a ghastly motor accident. I'm sure you might have heard unbelievers share the same thing. And like, how come God delivered them? Because he's kind to all. I say, but it shouldn't be good to the unbeliever, then the unbeliever will never become the believer. It was good to all of us. That's how we were able to become believers. Most of us would have died before God born again. So he's good to all, because when he said to Jesus, or when the plan was hatched, conceived first of all before the foundation of the world, hatched, two levels of hatching, the one that was done before the foundation of the world and the one that finally happened in the fullness of time, he was doing it for the world. There was no church. So he loves everybody. Is that clear now? Someone now says, but if, you know, and sometimes this is where we now overdo it, I believe. We overdo it there. And then we neutralize the power of faith or the power that the believer has. We say, so what's the big deal? An unbeliever can get a job without applying for it. You've heard unbelievers say some things like that too, right? They could get jobs and they apply for it. So what's the big deal? It's the same thing. There's no difference. There's always a difference. There will always be a difference. There will always, always, always be a difference. And one major difference is the unbeliever cannot wake up in the morning to unlock that thing. I will say it in a different way. The unbeliever cannot will it to happen. The believer can. Anybody got what I just said? The unbeliever cannot wake up and release the ministry of angels. The believer can. The unbeliever cannot hear that, oh, something went wrong at the office, and he stands and says, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm correcting it now. The believer can. So while the same goodness of God is available to all, the key is not handed over to all. Behold, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. The key of the kingdom was not handed to the unbeliever. So whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That key is with the believer. Anybody with me this morning? So while, you know, we might sometimes on duty now, you know, we're trying to make a point. I get the point, but you now on duty trivialize the whole thing. Go and read your book. What's all this one that you're looking for spiritual people? Unbeliever to have spiritual people. Well, there's something different. Oh no, there's a difference. The believer has a key. The issue is knowing how to use the key. But at least you start with knowing you got the key. And if you got it, you got it. The key is with you. Then you learn, okay, this is the key. Let me use, and this, listen. You know, I said something in Jebode, and I need to say here, there's a place for impartation, there's a place for instruction. They don't override. Alright? You have to understand how to maximize the two. There's a place for instruction, there's a place for impartation. How did Solomon know that if God should ask him what he needs, he should say wisdom? Solomon was not wise to know that he needed wisdom. Who got the play on words, I suppose? Solomon was not wise to know he needed wisdom. So how did he know the answer was wisdom? Proverbs 4. I was tender and only begotten of my mother, and my father said to me, love wisdom. My father said to me, love wisdom. My father said to me, keep my commandments and live. My father said to me, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all you're getting. Get. My father said to me. So his daddy David had taught him and said that to him, so much so that when he became king and God said, what do you want? Ah, my father taught me well, sir, wisdom. It was instruction that sustained him, and the downfall of Solomon began by the ignoring of instruction, not impartation. You have to get this because it's a two-legged stool now, quite balanced. No, two-legged doesn't sound balanced, right? But it's two-legged. Sounds very balanced. It's two-legged. Right? Or two-sided coin. I think when we say coin, it's better that way. But it's two-sided. It's double-edged. So he was imparted with wisdom that became the wisest man that ever lived. But he now looked like he made some of the dumbest decisions that we ever made. So you almost wonder, how could the wisest man make some of the dumbest decisions? I don't know if anybody still ever tried having like 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines, the wisest man. You know, say, after I've tried everything, I came to one conclusion. Vanity upon vanity. But God gave you wisdom that I've told you that. But no, he said, no, I want to go and try it out. He had the impartation, but he ignored the instruction. You need to get this thing, please. Because the ministries and the individuals that last is not anointing that makes them last. Please hear me well. It's not anointing that makes people last. Let me not start talking like it's ministers' conference. But everybody's a minister, right? So some of you are like, continue. No, but it's not. It's not. When Archbishop Benson Udalsa was alive, there were loads of young ministers that flocked around him. And as at that time, men like Bishop David Odukpo were young. Bishop Michael Konkwa, they were young. Papa Irish Ejiofor, they were young men. To the lion, Benson Udalsa. They were young. Now, where is that generation? How many can we count? It's not anointing alone that makes people last. It's not skills and gifts. You know, I was still having that conversation with my wife in the car this morning. Come in down here. Let me say a little. just food for thought. But I was saying to her that when it comes to ministry, there are three women that have stood out and they've lasted. Joyce Meyer, Gloria Copeland, Marilyn Hickey. They've outlasted even men. Marilyn is over 80. Gloria is almost 80. Joyce is almost 80. They've done ministry for a minimum of 40 years each. There are people that had to shine. They are shining, did not pass 20 years. These women have done ministry for over 40 each. Allow my Yoruba, Lojupali, Biribiri. They've done over 40. They've outlasted even men. It's not a 19 alone, sir. There are some instructions that keep you on track. There are things that keep you sane. They keep you going. They keep you going. So she was asking, so what's on your mind? I said, a lot. A lot is always on my mind. But it's not the first time she'll hear me say. I think it was about some months ago. I just told her, I said, in the next 20 years, we'll see who is still left. I said, how do you talk like that? Because that's what always happens. Anybody read God's Generals before? There were many. They just fizzle out one after the other. After a while, there are a few that are remaining. 20, 25, max, 30 years. We'll see who is left. And it's the truth. We'll see who's left. It happens. So how do we stop it? Instruction. Keep my commandments and live. It's instruction, not the anointing. Ken Hagin said, he told many of the Gideon revivalists back then, he said, many years after you are all gone, I will still be here. He said, he told them. And part of it was, he said to them that most of you are building your ministries on gifts. I'm building my own ministry on the word. So the word will make you last. Instruction, word, acting on the word, staying with the word, placing the word over your emotions and your feelings. It's the word. Learning to be under, learning to have a level head. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. Great gifts that some of them should be in their 80s now. Some maybe 90s. Maybe some, if they were alive, they were in their... Men like Jacob. Anybody heard that name before? Do you know we would have had a privilege of having him alive when we were growing? But Jacob did not see 40 years old to be 40. He didn't see... I'm not even sure he saw 35. I think he left in his early 30s or... 30, 38. Okay, so he didn't enter 40 anyway. All right. So 2 years, 40, Jacob was gone. If Jacob had just stayed a little, would have watched his live videos at least, or listened to his tapes. So what kept some men? What kept T.L. Osborne? What kept R.W. Schambach? What kept certain people? What's keeping Reinhard Bonnke? Of all the greatest evangelists of the last century, Billy Graham is notable. And he never performed one miracle. No blind eye, no deaf ear, no lame, nothing happened in his crusade. And he pastored the American presidents. How'd you do that? Like the psalmist said, my heart is indicting a good matter. My heart is full. There's a lot. I just thought I should add that to what I was saying. But let's say what I said earlier, which is about instruction and what? Impartation. It's important. I said in Ijebutu, I said to them there, it's important, please. It's important. It's important. It's important. It's important. It's important. It's important. Those timings, guys, those movements with the Holy Ghost, those leadings and leadership of the Spirit. Those times when God tells you put your head under. Just important. Just important. Isn't it interesting that maybe I shouldn't say that on here. But just follow the Holy Ghost leading. Just follow, it's interesting. No, it will be sounding deeper like ministry talk. Wow. Just important. You know, and as a believer, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So maybe the 20th. No, I'm going to the 21st. So 20th. For all the promises of God in him, they are what? Yea, and what? In him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. There's a lot to say there. I know you know it, but for the first time, some of you know where that is found in the Bible. So maybe say thank you to me later. 21. Now he who, notice what I'm about to do. He who will establish us. Is that what he's saying there? He who established us with you in Christ and is about to anoint us. What's he saying there? Has anointed us. He who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also what? Sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So 21, 22, he established us. Number 2, he anointed us. Number 3, he sealed us and gave us the earnest of his Spirit in our hearts. He established us. He anointed us. He sealed us and gave us the earnest of his Spirit in our hearts. He established us. He anointed us. He gave us the earnest of his Spirit in our hearts. He established us. He anointed us. He gave us the earnest of the Spirit, his own Spirit, in our hearts. Why am I doing that? I said I'll talk for a few minutes about unseen realities. They cannot be seen, but they are real. And the believer has to learn to transact with these unseen realities. You can't see them, but nonetheless, they are real. They exist. They are powerful. So how do I relate with what I cannot see? I have to go to the Word to relate with the Word. I have to find what he says in the Word and say what he said in the Word. I stay with it. Do we always feel anointed? No. And this anointing being referenced here, being referred to, is not, oh, I'm preaching, so I'm anointed. Oh, I'm singing, so I'm anointed. Oh, I'm pastoring, I'm counseling, so I'm anointed. No, he's writing to an entire church in Corinth. He's writing to all the believers in a particular geographic location. And he's telling them, listen, God has anointed you. God has established you. God has put his seal on you and given the Holy Ghost to you in your heart. So every believer needs to tell himself or herself, hey, I'm anointed. I don't feel it, but I'm anointed. So the next thing is, okay, so what will the anointing do? Isaiah chapter 10, 27 says, in that day, his burden will be taken away from off your shoulder, his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. That means where the anointing is present, burdens are lifted, yokes are destroyed. So are we anointed? So we need to relate with unseen realities. We can't see them, but they are real. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were created from things that do not appear. So that means the unseen created the seen, or the one we can't see, you know, the one not visible to the eye created the one that is visible to the eye. Yet again, the one we cannot see is real. It's real. But what we live by, what we seem to conduct our affairs by, is the one we can see. So when somebody asks you, how are you? You're usually going to answer based on how you are feeling. Feeling. How you're doing. So our estimation of ourselves is usually limited to that realm. Our estimation of ourselves, our value of ourselves, is restricted to a level, a realm, a dispensation. It's there. So I'm going to say, how are you? Then you say, anointed. Alright? Now, I don't say that to someone tomorrow morning. But you say that to yourself. Is that alright? So how are you? Who are you? Are you anointed? Sure. How did you know you're anointed? Word said so. It's simple. Not, I felt it. Thank God for those things, but hey. You know, as we're saying I'm anointed, I was just feeling it. It's good, but never live your life on that. Stay with the word. I beg you. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Let me dabble into healing a little bit. If when you feel bad, you're not feeling well, then when you feel good, then you're great. Your health is not established on the word like it should be. Please understand what I'm saying. If when you feel bad in your body, your health, then at that time you say, oh, I'm great. Then when you don't feel good in your body, then you say, oh, I'm not great. Then you have not settled your health on the unseen realities of God's word. Someone asked me, Twigglesworth, how are you? And he said, I don't ask Smith how he's doing. I tell him how he should feel. I tell him. I don't ask him. Our bishop, as I said, if my body doesn't want to get up, I say, body, get up! And he follows me. When we are feeling led, our feelings always rule the show. And our feelings don't always lead us to good places. And when I say don't always lead us to good places, doesn't it actually mean bad stuff, bad, horribly bad? It just can make you while away your time or something. Why I could use the time for that. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So it doesn't have to mean that you went to smoke or do something. I'm saying, yeah, but there's no smoking in the Bible. Yeah, but you're doing something to the temple, right? So don't disturb the temple. You're pouring smoke inside the temple. So, well, I didn't take it in. I just pushed it out. Was electronic, right? Blessed be God. We're just adding more technology to the confusion. That's what we're doing. That's all we're doing. You know, please understand this. You know, we talked about David last Sunday. And one thing he said about David was, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than high. Believe me, David understood something that we haven't. He did. David wants to go to war, 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 war. war. He's a warrior. He got back to his camp. They've carried his wives, his family, his children, packed wife, everybody's gone. They were first shocked because they were already conquering places, you know. And then they cried. When warriors are crying, there's trouble. These are not women, they're not children. Men, warriors. They sat down and cried. All right? Some of you don't know who Jaguar used to be. Jaguar, Nigerian actor. And when Jaguar is crying, he will do gear one. Hey, then change the gear two. Hey. So, men, have you seen a man cry? Not shed tears. Not shedding tears. Have you seen a man cry? It's not a good sight. It's not a good sight. So these are men of war. Fire. And they cried. Then David, listen to this. And this is it for most of us. David switched. Next thing Bible tells us is that the men got up to stone him. That means after finishing their own cry. Because Bible said they cried until there was no more strength in them to weep. They had exhausted their five. They now had to all conclude that it's bad leadership that got us to where we are. So they picked up stones to stone David. But listen, at that point, you would want to bring in politics. Joab, I helped your mother. Even if this guy wants to, and then turn Joab against, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, or you want to use something. David switched. First thing he did was to encourage himself in the Lord. Hi. He knew how to tap into a strength that most believers are still... I don't think it's... Guys, anybody... David switched. David, what's the word now? David could have gone... What's the word now? Manipulative. David could have gone emotional. After all I've done for all of you. After all I've done for all of you. After all I've done for all of you. I'll die. I'll give. Give me that. David could have. He could have gone emotional. But the man switched. He entered something. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And the next thing we knew, David said, "Priest, come. Let's ask God what was." How many Christians Monday to Friday remember to ask God when they enter Yahweh? Come on, somebody. This brain is too active for most of us Christians. It's too active. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will. David knew something. Guys, David knew something. We're too full in our heads. For most Christians, for most of the church, is too busy. Busy. When something goes wrong, plan B, plan C, next plan. Actor no they die. Just something is always working. Something is working. When do you stop and say, "Hey, shut down, God D, what are you saying? What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying?" I remember, what year was that? 2000 and I think it was 16. You know, I handed church over to my wife in Ijebu then, and I was in the room and then drawing up plans, whatever I have to do. And I sat down and I drew plans till December, meetings we're going to have. As I was planning, I knew there was, but I wasn't clear about it. Then she came back from work, and then I told her, "Don't think I'm jobless, so I've drawn plans."
But in case nothing happens this year, just wait. Brain, how many of you have been there? One idea can become 55. This thing, this guy here. And I was expanding. So we'll have meeting here. Then we'll have meeting here. When I was done, I consecrated myself to God. If you say cancel, it's canceled. That's how church in Ijebu even ever began. Some of you have heard the story. We had a program in Ife, had a program in Abeokuta. That was 2006. Program in Ife, had a program in Abeokuta. Then I was in Ibadan, just trying to do some findings, also trying to go to the studio to record some teachings into cassette tapes and everything. You know, and then we're planning a program, you know, in Ede, in Osun State. You know, and I called her on phone and said, I'm having this thing about this meeting. You know, you plan it, let me come like guest minister. She said, no problem. So, blah, blah, blah. I called her back, maybe a week or two, shut down that program. God is saying something else. It's not fight. This head. This guy here. 2011, some of you were there. We had this Christmas program in Ijebu. Day. It was loud. Following year, we were already planning, set up committee chairman. They were having rehearsal, bringing music trainer. I was at a friend's house, came to Lagos for a pastor's program. Slept over at a friend's house. My wife and my friend's wife were talking. I was, you know, on the bed, half on the bed. My body there, my legs, you know, on the floor. And God said, I didn't ask you to do what you're about to do for this year. That was last year's instruction. If you're not consecrated, you might not hear. This guy here. So you ask him, you see how she says no. How they say to me about permit me on Okon Waja. One way does not enter market. EMC says no. Light day is there. You didn't stop. You didn't wait. They were active. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed. And I know many of us get to that point of being overwhelmed. Some of us are there as I speak now. You are at the point you are overwhelmed. But you will push. I must not die. I will keep going. You are crammed up. David said, lead me to the rock. David literally knew what he meant when someone says, I get high on the Most High. David's weed was God. Anybody hear what I'm saying? David's own weed. David's shisha. No, I'm serious, because most believers now, you know, like it happened in the temple, after they had carted away all the fine, authentic jewelry in the temple, the Jews now made the fake version, put it there, so when you go to the temple, the original bronze has been stolen. It's brass that is there. So most believers now, our level of high is not Holy Ghost. High comes from music. High comes from friends. High comes from every other person except the Most High. Then we know how to shack up. But not God. David said, as the heart pants, the deer pants, I pant for you. You. Nobody can satisfy me. It's you. David transacted with realities that could not be seen. How could a small boy kill Goliath? He knew transactions. He understood transactions now. I mean, see David saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defile armies? The person speaking was not part of the army. Hello, somebody. He was speaking. Who is he to defile the army? Army was not talking. Army was running. The same covenant that David had was a covenant that the armies had. They were all Israelites. It was the same God, the same covenant. But issue was, David transacted with it. David knew the reality of it. David understood that this covenant is real. Day for them, worship. And please don't do church and God Sunday morning. I don't mean just because you come to know. Even you can be a worker and all you do is church and God Sunday morning. What I mean is your depth of commitment to God is all this worship time. And that's the end. Or when you're playing music somewhere. Or no. Do you understand the transactions? When he tells him, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by the word, and the word alone is what I'm moved by. It's transactions, though. And there are degrees of this transaction. But it's the more we transact with the word, with the word, with the word, and we get deeper into the word. A believer can have pain in the leg and the pain goes for 3 months. And I believe I can have pain in the leg and the pain goes for 2 days. It was the same pain. Different transaction. If you understand what I'm saying, it's a transaction. And we need to learn how to transact. We need to learn how to transact. I beg you. I beg you. We need to learn how to transact. There was this thing raining some time back, you know, hustle low so that XYZ, hustle low so that XYZ, you know, you guys understand what I'm saying, right? Yeah, they write hustle so that it's not all about the hustle. And this is where I'm going, because it's not all about that money. After a while, you think that you can sort everything with money. And money always has its bust up. But money is a defense. We can never remove that from scripture now. Money is a defense. Money answers all things. As much as that is there, it's also obviously contextual. But money is a serious defense. I think money will do that. You don't need to move a finger to go and solve. And that thing's all because you have money. It is sorted. But white bull always reminds you that it has its own level of deceitfulness. You know, you could forget to now release your faith for the headache because you know you can now buy some aspirin. Just buy the aspirin. Use the HMO. Because everything is okay. I'm always fine. And this is the issue. It could be eroding something somewhere that you're not taking note of. Someday they now say, you need 750,000 naira. How about 2 salaries to cover it? Money again. Then they say, oh, I'll just go to my cooperative. I'll just pull up a loan. What's sorting it? And then your faith is saying, I'm lean. I'm not doing anything for you. I'm lean. You need me. Faith is not a spare tire. The just shall live. It's not spare tire. And have you ever had to need that extra tire and it wasn't good? Anybody been there? You haven't used the extra tire for a while. When you never really brought it out, it was also deflated. Because it's just not used. I learned something from Bishop David Oyedepo. And that's arguably one of the richest ministers in Nigeria and on this continent that we know. He said, in dealing with this topic, because how can people have and yet not be controlled by it? Of course, there's a lot of giving going on. Giving allows you to release. But he said, always give your faith a project bigger than your income. Always give your faith something that would always make your faith want to do something. But please understand that doesn't work in the area of money alone. This man's wife almost died some years ago, if you know the story. In fact, almost died. She was as good as dead. And medical science couldn't help her. The woman was finished. She was, who knows the story? She was technically gone, finished. At that time, you will blow your money. And they'll tell you something you can do. It will be the power of God. And at the end of the day, you will now start counting the names of ministers that have come to lay hands. Is Bishop now? Won't he get all the powerful people? And they were there. Tell us one. Did Papa, everybody.
Bishop has more access to ministers than all of us here put together. Yes or no? All of us put together. He has access. The one we are looking for, they are looking for him. Yes or no? Yeah. So what are we talking about? And it wasn't one laying on the hands that solved that issue. The woman's half of her leg was inside her. Not hell, like hellfire. I mean, dead. She was gone. Ha. My wife was gisting me this morning about it. She's reading a book. A woman literally died and she was talking to Jesus and he just said, you have to go back. People were praying. They prayed about her. They stood there. And she said, why did you bring me back? You know, when people see that place, they don't want to come back here. It's better than this place. So when we cry for them, they are not crying. They don't even remember your nickname. All right, maybe they do, you know. Anybody gets what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, throw yourself on the floor. That person is jumping, somersaulting, swinging, screaming, whoa, Jesus, wow, finally, man. And then Jesus said, do you want to go? No. What are they doing there? The change is not changing. Nothing's happening. Jesus, to be with you is far better. Is that not in the Bible, isn't it? Philippians chapter 1 is better. Be with you is better. Nothing's changing. Let's stay here. They said rain is the one causing pothole. It snows in America. No rain. It's snowing. And their streets are not having pothole. Our own is rain. And it's pothole. Nigeria, we held you. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord. But things will change. Yeah, because some of us need to do something. Some of us will have to do something. Even if you don't want to, you have to. Some of us are kings and some of us are kingmakers. You have to find where you belong. Alright, don't enter actively if you are not meant to be there. Find those who should throw your weight behind them. But someone to throw their weight behind people and they are the ones that the crown is waiting for their head. And so you have to find yourself. Am I a king? Am I a kingmaker? Many believers have entered it and soiled their hands. Soiled it mercilessly. What if Daniel could survive in Babylon? Believers will survive. It takes transact. You know, Daniel transacted with the unseen. How can they tell you not to pray to anybody else in this place except big old Nebuchadnezzar? And you decide to go and open your window. Anybody getting what I'm saying? Don't forget, it was Daniel that said, they that know their God. Then I was talking about transaction. Come and carry me. And when they threw me to the lions, then Daniel was not fasting and praying. It was the king that was fasting and praying. Was it Nebuchadnezzar? No, it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar. No, Darius. There were four kings, right? Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. Alright. So it was Darius. Thank you. I mean, it was the king that was fasting, huh? Nebuchadnezzar was the one that went to animal husbandry 7 years for teaching practice. He went to learn, went on internship. Guys, the people that used faith in the Bible, they knew certain transactions. Daniel was able to stand that corrupt system. All right, Daniel was able to stay in a place where they didn't like him and he thrived, all because he knew God. So Daniel's knowing God was not church service. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just I'm singing, I'm lifting up my hand, I'm taking notes. You know, sometimes take those notes, you don't check them in 5 years. Anybody been there? Just jot and jot. You know, some churches have turned to Bible school now. It's good. But be sure that all the notes they were taking, they are going to come back to pick them. So we say we're anointed. Are we? Are we anointed?
So the unseen things. 2 Kings 6, would read that and...
Oh, dear Lord. Anybody loves David in this place?
Oh. I love you, Jesus, more than anything.
Is that 2 Kings, right?
Yep.
Yes, it's 2 Kings. Yep, 2 Kings chapter 6. Okay, we'll just read the whole story. We'll bless somebody. Thank you, Lord.
Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled of this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of you is for the king of Israel? The king of Israel always found out his plans. 12. And one of his servants said to him, nobody, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, saying, he stays in Dothan. Therefore sent he there horses, chariots, and a great host, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Round about 15 says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Anybody getting the story so far? It's familiar, right? So those that are with us are more than those that are with them. I'm sure the guy was wondering where. There are two of us standing here, and there are thousands of them standing around us. How do we do it? And Elisha prayed a prayer that I think is important for every believer. Next verse, please. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you, what? Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Joke, but Bible didn't say round about the two of them. So Elisha's faith was working for him or something. Question. Were they surrounded by angels? Yeah? Next question. When did the angels get there? Before his eyes were opened or when his eyes were opened? Before? That means angels were there and yet he was afraid. That means they were real, but they were unseen. They were real, but they were unseen. And very many times we're petrified, we're messed up. We release our faith, we're scared, it's not working. All because it was unseen. Doesn't mean it wasn't real. Doesn't mean it wasn't real. Many things you've asked him for, that you ended by saying, in the name of Jesus, I believe, I receive. The moment you did that, it became real. It was, however, unseen, but it was real. You couldn't see it, but it was real. That job, the baby, the house, whatever it was that you know that was on that list of yours, unseen, but real. So we give up. Oh, it's taking 6 months. Oh, it's taking, I've seen my period. Oh, this, and all those things get to happen to us again and again. Oh, the landlord finally kicked me out and I still don't have the house. Well, everything happens, but, and it affects faith. But faith will say that I will stay with the seen, but the spiritually seen, not the physically seen. I will stay. So the question is, Lord, open My eyes. Now, when God opened the eyes of the young man, the next question might be, which of his eyes did God open? This or the one inside? Because it might not always be this one. Remember what Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1? That the eyes of our understanding. That's the prayer. That's a prayer for believers. Because Paul in Ephesians 1 began by saying, you know, verse 3, we're blessed. Didn't he say so? Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us. So if I say, how are you? Say, blessed. How are you? Blessed. Say, how are you? Blessed. How are you? Blessed. Do you always feel blessed? No. Do you even feel righteous? So, did some of you feel like coming to church this morning? No. But you're here, right? You defiled your feeling. Some of you, if you had your chance, you wouldn't have really come. All right? But you came. So how are you? Blessed. Now, Paul says we're blessed. Chapter 3, Ephesians. Chapter 6, it says we've already been accepted in the beloved. That's a revelation the church still needs to get. Chapter 7 says we have redemption, we have forgiveness. Chapter 11, it says we have received an inheritance. Oh, dear Lord. 13:14 says we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. After Paul settled, I now said, let me pray. God, open their eyes. Open their eyes to all these things. I just reminded them that they have. It's not that God is about to do something new. It's you need to see the things that he has done. Some believers say, I can't sleep well at night. If only you see the angel standing beside you. You will not sleep at night though. You will carry your bag. Go and sleep under the bridge. To the craziest tout you can find under that bridge. You say, who's your boss? He says, that guy. So yeah, I'll sleep beside him tonight. They'll wonder what's wrong with you. They won't know that you saw an angel. And then you realize that the guy that is following you everywhere. He says, are you crazy? Say, no. Why? You don't know what I've seen. But when we wait to see like that, God is not intending to lead us that way. You know, when Thomas said, I would not believe except I see. Jesus waited for him. And when he was in house that day, Jesus now came and said, you want to see? Come and see. But when Jesus was done, Jesus now said to him, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Do you know Psalm 34 says the angels of God encamp around those who fear him to deliver them. It's already there. He said he will give his angels charge of you, Psalm 91. It's already there. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us again, 13 and 14, his angels, they are sent forth to minister for those that are heirs of salvation. It's already there. That means with three scriptures now in the Bible, I know that angels are available for me. They are real, though unseen. But they are there. So you go to bed at night. Yeah, you want to do your due diligence. Check the house if it's locked. Check the car if it's secure. Check everywhere if it's locked. People have locked all those and someone still tap them at night. And say, bros, wake up. Yes or no? But the angels of God encamp around them that fear him. The angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. The angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. The angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. The angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. The angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. The angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. Now, you don't have to do this, but there were two brothers, I know one of them. Thieves broke into their house. Back in those days, you know, this burglary and then louvers. Well, a number of our houses might still have that. You know, so they caught the burglary and then thing caught the neck, caught the burglary, created space, went through, stole their VHS player. If you remember VHS, stole the VHS player, maybe one other item, and left. And the brothers said to themselves, we're not fixing that place. And no thief will ever come back again. That was the end. They left it. You don't have to do that. They said to themselves, they must have opened the door. Transaction. Not door. Door. A door through fear. A door through unbelief. A door through something. Say, we opened that door. We shut that door. We are not fixing this one. And nothing ever happened to the house.
The angels of God encamp around them that fear him to deliver them. The angels of God encamp around them that fear him to deliver them. The angels of God encamp around them that fear him to deliver them. The angels of God encamp around them that fear him. Oh, they kidnap this person. Oh, they kidnap my auntie's cousin's brother. Oh, they kidnap this guy, this commissioner. Oh, they kidnap this person's mother. Oh, they kidnap this police person. Oh, they kidnap again. Oh, but the angels of God encamp around them that fear him to deliver them. The angels of God encamp around them that fear him to deliver them. The angels of God encamp around them that fear him to deliver them. The angels of God encamp around them that fear him to deliver. Oh, but I got into trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will bring him out of them all. Many are the challenges a righteous man might face, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Many, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God brings him out of them all. Transact with those verses, please. How? Your faith. You see them, you believe them, you declare them as your present possession. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. You can't sleep at night. Don't start hooking yourself up on drugs. Don't say, well, they said, if I take it, I'll sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. Whatever 10 million ways want to also now have new revelation to interpret that verse, he will still give you good sleep. He gives his beloved 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 sound sleep. Sound sleep. If Jesus can sleep in the hinder part of a boat in a pillow when the storm was raging, I can sleep. And I will sleep. Talk yourself into it. So, because if we're not careful, like I said, our high is no longer God. Everybody is now replacing the things that can high us up, if you understand what I'm saying. There's a drug for this. Oh, there's a drug for that. Oh, there's something for this one. Oh, there's something for that. So everything now comes and it takes away the need for the believer to act on the word. There's no need. Because there's a replacement for everything. But we stay with the word. We live by the word. We stay with the word, guys. I beg you. I beg you. I beg you. I beg you. No matter how sophisticated science gets, and then they can replace the eye that has been damaged, or they can change something. Hebrews tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still fixes things that are bad in broken bodies. He went about doing good, healing. If he healed then, he's healing today. And he's healing in a better way now. If he were still alive now, we'll have to travel to Jerusalem to look for him. That will cost us plane and cost us hotel accommodation, cost us every stress to go and get healing. Now he can stay in one room, one spot, one place, and the same healing power of Jesus Christ can get to you where you are. Glory to God. Same one, same virtue. If the woman of the issue of blood could touch the physical Jesus, now we have the earnest of his spirit. Oh, we have a Holy Ghost. We have the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. We have the same one that was in the ministry of Jesus, helping him, as in aiding him, anointing him to heal the sick. So I can stand and say, thank you. I receive my healing by faith. In your room, in your restroom self, in your bathroom, you can get your healing. Don't just say, when I did that, I didn't feel anything. Oh, you don't have to. If all our receiving is based on what we feel, the day we don't feel it, we'll believe we lost it. If all our receiving is based on what we feel, the day we don't feel, we will believe that we lost it. Oh, I don't feel it again. I don't feel it again. I'm not feeling it again. No, don't do that, guys. Don't do that. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm anointed. I am blessed. Are you blessed? Says he's blessed us with how many things? All spiritual blessings. All. Talk like it because it's the truth. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings.
I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing. I'm blessed. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. What are you doing? I'm transacting. I'm transacting. Take a walk at night. Sit on your bed. Lie on your bed. Just talk it. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. What are you doing? I'm transacting. I'm transacting. I'm writing this thing very well in my mind. I'm programming myself. I'm blessed. I'm anointed. I have an unction to function. I can handle that project at my office. I can get that job done. I'm anointed for this thing. I'm anointed to get results. David said, when Saul died, how come he died like one that was not anointed? There's the way an anointed person should die. That means there's a way an anointed person should live. Guys were too anointed to be broke. Are you hearing me now? But too anointed to lack. Because when the anointing comes, as Psalm 23 says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. That means anointing produces prosperity. So I'm too anointed. Someone say, but I don't know what to do. The anointing produces wisdom. Because the anointing is wisdom. And now, anointing is not just power. Anointing is wisdom. And the Spirit of the Lord rests upon the Spirit of counsel and might. So there's wisdom in the anointing. It's not just power, power, power. Nigerians like that power dimension of the anointing, but it takes the wisdom to stabilize it. I'm too anointed to be sick. Anybody getting what I'm saying now? You know, some people say, you know, maybe God wants me sick a little bit. So imagine if I'm your friend and I'm coming to pay you a visit, and then the tap of your house is broken. Won't you try to fix it before your visitor comes around? The light bulbs are not working. Your TV is bad. You fix up something. Yes or no? You want to do up your house. You know, most times when you go to some homes, when they repaint it, they either have a burial, they have wedding. When people know that visitors are coming, they do something up. Yes or no? So if people have the sense to do up their homes, you know, sometimes when you even hear that knock on the door, go. It's a visitor. You quickly adjust something, arrange something. You are the house of God. So your kidney cannot be leaking, you know, all the taps are leaking somewhere, your intestine is not working well, your toilet, you know, is not flushing. You know, you understand what I'm saying now, figuratively. Your intestine is not working. Intestine, that's digestive system, thank you. It's not working, so restroom cannot flush. Your kidney, your lip, something's just wrong. Your window, your eyes have problem. Your speaker, your loudspeaker, I'm just guessing what. You understand what I'm saying now? Won't you fix up so God now lives inside you? Everywhere is broken, God doesn't mind. No. What kind of house is that? If he lives in this place, he will fix it up. Anybody hear what I'm saying now? If he lives here, he'll fix it up. And he lives here. And he lives here. And he lives here. So when I tell myself, Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. So someone said, hey, I'm looking for healing scripture. No, they don't have to write healing. H-E-A-L-I-N-G in that verse for it to be a healing scripture. No, it's the revelation of Christ in it and who you are to it that brings the healing out of it. Christ is in me. If Christ is in me now, then my body is full of life. Then my body is full of health because Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ and sickness cannot cohabit. Christ and disease cannot cohabit. Christ and lump in the breast cannot cohabit. Christ and tumor cannot cohabit. Christ and whatever it is happening to the blood cannot cohabit. No, Christ. Jesus was, John was telling us about the ministry of Jesus in 1 John chapter 3. Says, for this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So if he lives here, then the work of the devil cannot prevail. Can't prevail. It can't prevail. It can't prevail. I refuse to be confused. Guys, we're too anointed to be confused. We're too anointed to be broke. We're too anointed to lack. We're too anointed to be scared. We're anointed. He has anointed us. 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 Hey! He has anointed us. He's anointed me. He's anointed me. Glory to God. You want to lift your hands to him this morning. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. 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 Christ is in me. 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 Christ is inside me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ. He is in me. He is in me. Where's this father would know? Christ is in me. He's in me now. His life is in me. His strength is in me. His wisdom is in me. His power is in me. Christ is in me. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Wow, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Please listen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The transaction is in this point where your faith is saying, this is what I've received. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. It's a spiritual transaction. But it works by faith. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. That bill is in front of you. You don't know how to pay it. Go to the verse. Whether it's Philippians 4:19, my God supplies all my... Look at that verse and tell yourself, this verse is more real to me than what I'm looking at as a bill. When you say that, it will look like you're lying. But let God alone be true. And let this thing I'm staring at be the lie. Heaven and earth will pass away. This word will not go unfulfilled. I am telling this bill in the name of Jesus. You have been paid. The word says you are paid. You are paid. The word says I will not lack. I will not. You're talking the word because it is the reality. Listen, I've seen God do something. I've seen God even stir up somebody that I've never talked to. Just do favor to me. And I'm sure, I still remember someone's testimony right here. He's not God. We treat him like God. Some of these problems, we can sort it by ourselves. And they say, no, he's God. He will sort this thing. He will sort it. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Can I give you a moment? Because the truth is, by doing this, impartation is going on. But there's something about when the word itself is now ministering to you. Ministering to you. Ministering to you. You're receiving that by the word. Christ is in me. Let's just take a minute. Christ is in me. Maybe while you're doing that, a verse pops up. Go with the other verse. It's fine. Christ is in me. 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 Christ. Christ is in me. Is in me. Please stand to your feet. Glory to God. Oh, we give you praise. 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 Let's stay around healing quickly so we could tie this whole thing up and close. Anybody with a pain, something wrong or not too right with the body, let's help you together in this environment. Praise God. Anybody? Something going on somewhere. Anybody? Quick, quick, quick. Anybody? Quick, quick, quick. Yep. Quick, 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 quick. Please be telling yourself Christ is in you. Christ, 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 Christ. Christ.
Christ, 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 Christ. Be telling yourself, everybody, those of you in the audience, keep doing that. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Christ. Christ is in me. Christ. 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 Christ is in me. Christ. Christ is in me. Don't say like you're praying. It's not prayer. You're not trying to make Christ to come into you. Because sometimes we unconsciously do that when we're meditating. Christ in me. Christ in me. So that if the more I say, Christ will enter. No. Say it knowing that Christ. I'm only saying what the word said. I'm not trying to make the word the word. The word is the word. The word is the word. Christ is in me. 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 Christ. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. I'm just going to lay hands on everybody. You release your faith for the correction of whatever it is. Is that right? Because the anointing will still find its way into that. In the name of Jesus. Laid on you, there's a correction. You know where your faith is. When hands are laid on you, there's a correction. When hands are laid on you, there's a correction. Now, when hands are laid on you, are laid on you, there is a correction.
Now, listen. I decided not to listen after the first person I listened to of what is it? Jesus didn't know what the woman with the issue of blood needed to receive. When the anointing finds expression, it works. It's working. Now, there's nothing wrong in asking. I could have asked. It wasn't wrong, but I just knew, don't bother. Release the anointing into their bodies. So it's working. All right? It's working. It's working. Because this case or this case shouldn't make me pray more or less. It's the power of God. It will work. And it is working. Now, there's nothing wrong. Some cases might need you concentrated. Or you hear, and when the person talks, you just know it's not what that person is saying. It's something else. The Spirit of God ministers you, but there, just you know, do that. Is that, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I would have wanted to know, but no. So lift up your hands. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the multitude needed food, he fed them. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever. When Peter couldn't catch fishes, he helped him. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever. If he cared about welfare back then, he cares about welfare even now. So I speak concerning every need represented here. The Lord is the Lord of comfort. He is El Shaddai. I declare, therefore, that need, that desire, that need, that desire, that need, that desire, I call it met. In the name of Jesus, I call it met. In the name of Jesus, I call forth supernatural supply. 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 Some will be seemingly miraculous. You least expected it. God broke every protocol in your mind. It showed up in front of you. I call forth supernatural supply. In the name of Jesus, I declare that every area of your life is increasing. Every area is flourishing. Every area is finding expression. In the name of Jesus, oh, I speak to your path. And I declare in the name of Jesus, anything wrong is become right. Whatever is out of way by this anointing is corrected. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, we give you praise. 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 Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. Please open your eyes and look at me. Thank you, Lord. Listen. I'll pray like 2-3 more prayers. But I'd like to ask you to transact with the fact that Jesus has anointed you. But then there was an impartation also released onto you. Walk with it. Use it. Use it. Use it. Is that okay? Because the anointing available is available for you. All right? Every ministry gift, every pastor is anointed for the people. So it's not, you know, so I'm using pastor to explain your context. All right? So for the people, not for the person's self. It's for the people. So I'm not going home to do anything with it in that sense. Is that okay? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Because if there's a need for me to pray for you every Sunday service when I come here, I would. You understand that? You know, sometimes if you get an impartation this week and get next week, it's not too much. It's drilling a hole into wherever it is it's going to. But don't forget where we began from. There's impartation, there's instruction. Many times, haven't received the impartation, the instructions the Holy Ghost will give you. Saul was the first anointed king. That means he was anointed. But the way he missed it, instruction. Samuel said, wait for me. He didn't wait. Just, anybody getting it? So it's not the anointed, I'm anointed. Instruction. Stay here. Sit down there. Don't do that. Don't go there. Submit yourself. Listen to what they tell you. Just instruction. Instruction. We run with anointing. No, we're kept by instruction. Is that clear, everybody? Because I want that sometime, some years to come, we're in our 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, as the age brackets might be expressed here, and we can still hang out. I'm not wondering, they are not saying, you remember Pastor Rex? That guy, he blessed us. So anybody knows where he is? I don't deal. Where is his F? Pastor, God bless him wherever he is. Sometimes you can't find me. Can we hear? What? I've gone to Iceland. You know? I've gone, you know, far away. Now, maybe location can make that happen, but sometimes just relevance. And you won't lose your relevance. Eh? You won't lose your own relevance. Everybody doesn't have to be globally known, but there's a sphere where God will have you be. You won't lose your relevance there. Doesn't sound like a solid prayer, but inside that prayer lies instruction. It means God will help you stand. The Bible says he's able to make you stand. He's able. I'm to instruct you. And he'll do it. He'll send people to you. He'll send TV to you. Send book to you. He'll call you. Say, wake up. And he'll do whatever he wants so that you can stand. He's committed to your life. And let me say this. If God plants you somewhere, be open there. Don't be open. All right? Don't lie. Don't change the story. Be open. Just be open. Be open. If you tell me something you lied, God knows you lied. Me, I might not know. God will see you later. Now, doesn't mean he'll punish you. No, all the time. No. Whatever the blessing he put in me, I'm sure you get what I'm saying. But it's not always no punishment. No. You just might not know what you miss. Because you didn't maximize the fullness of that relationship. That sometimes is bad in itself. Alright, we need to close. Let me just pray this prayer. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Could you hold somebody's hand, please? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just put it off. You can put it off. Thank you. Glory to God. Just hold someone. Maybe 2-3. Not everybody all over. 2-3, 2-3. Kind of. 2-3, 2-3 is fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Christ is in us. Christ is alive in us. Christ is alive in this place. Christ is in every person here. Christ lives inside us. Christ is resident inside us. Fully resident in us. Resident. Resident. So I come against anything. anything not working right, anything not going right in this gathering, in the lives represented here, by this agreement, by this anointing, by this agreement, by this prayer, I declare that you will enjoy flourishing. I declare that there is a free flow of the grace of God in your lives. That right here, right now, I can't tell how many, 1, 2, 3, like something holding you from taking off, holding you down, from taking off, holding you to the ground. It could be the mind, it could be, these things don't always mean enemy. It's sometimes a restriction in the person's mind. And God, by His Spirit, can reveal to you and that thing snaps. And yes, sometimes the enemy and he's taking authority over it. It's fine. But in the name of Jesus, I command your lifting. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I command your lifting. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I've asked us to join hands as a sign of an agreement. As a sign of an agreement. As a sign of a togetherness. I have asked us to join hands. And I declare that no one will be left behind. Amen. I declare that there is a corporate lifting. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I speak blessings. Amen. Zechariah says there will be rain for every grass on the field. So I'm saying that there will be that impact, that flow for every person in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. I command that you go and progress. Amen. You go and you prosper. Amen. You go and you increase. Amen. You go and you excel. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I declare between now and the end of the year, there will be soundness. Amen. There will be soundness. Amen. There will be clarity. Amen. Clarity, clarity, clarity. In the name of Jesus, amen. There will be increase. Amen. Yes, yes. Because you will step into 2020 with your hands full. Amen. Yes, you will step into 2020 with your heart full. Amen. You will step into 2020. I'm seeing a picture, so I'm trying to speak it in the prayer. Like someone carrying a basket and there are things inside. So that I'm seeing. So the basket is not entering the new year empty. The basket is emptying the new year with things already inside. So the person is with that knowing and looking forward to more. You will step into the new year with abundance. You step into the new year with dancing. You will step into the new year in jubilation. In the name of Jesus. You will not be stranded. You will not be stranded. The help you need. Hebrews 13 says that the God of the covenant will furnish you with all you need. So I declare that all you need, all you need, all you require, everything you require will find its way to you. And God will help you to maximize everything. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Now, could you just lift your hands and say, I receive. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please be seated. We're done.